In John chapter 20, and begin reading at the beginning of the chapter and read through the account. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Let us pray together, shall we? Loving Father, we thank you for the reading of the scriptures this afternoon and for the record that John bears of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his resurrection and of those events that took place. Pray, Lord, that our hearts also may be moved by these things and that we may bear record of these things and give witness of these things, that our hearts may truly be affected and that we may have faith and believe and trust in you. And Lord, that we may also tell others of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we look at this account this afternoon, this being the account which John gives of the various details of the resurrection and the events, we find that this resurrection day is that day which is marked out as the first day of the week. And at the first day of the week, we find that Mary Magdalene, early, when it was yet dark, came unto the sepulchre, and she sees the stone taken away from the sepulchre. I suppose when we think about the events of that morning, we may not be much different in our thinking than perhaps Mary was, that she came very early in the morning and she noticed that the sepulchre was open rather than sealed. And she probably immediately recognized that, well, something is wrong here, that the body of Jesus may have been taken, and her observation of the empty tomb was more that there was something, somebody had come and had stolen away the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the disciples, especially Mary and the disciples, probably, even though we look at it like they somehow had missed the point, were acting more normal than we might think. Because what is faith but that something that God has worked out in our lives, and this faith that is required of salvation must be fully worked out in the lives of the disciples. James talks about that we need to work out our salvation. And I think it's important that we recognize that salvation is of God, totally and fully, yet at the same time there is a work of God in us that salvation might be manifest in us. And we kind of recognize that by faith. We say, well, faith, it is not only the substance of things not seen, the evidence of things not seen, but it is that which causes us to believe what we cannot fully understand. And here the disciples would be challenged upon that very thing. Things they could not understand. Later on, we find that Thomas is perplexed over this situation. He doesn't understand. And he is evidential in his belief, meaning that he requires some evidence for him to believe. He wanted to see the nail prints. He wanted to touch the Lord's hand. He wanted to see the wound in the side of Jesus. He wanted to put his hand there and know that it was that wound which was thrust upon the Lord by the spear and wounded him. And so Thomas was evidential. We find that Mary was emotional. Here is the difference between men and women, isn't it? Women are often emotional, and men are often evidential. The difference is in the sexes. Not that men aren't emotional in some way, but they are. But, you know, you remember the old Dragnet movies where the detective would come to the door and the line was, "Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts." You know, he wanted to get to the evidence, whereas women are more keyed into the emotional aspect of things. What does a woman want at a birthday, on a birthday? A nice bouquet of flowers, which makes her feel sentimental about the occasion, that she's loved and she's appreciated. But give a man a drill and he's happy. You know, we look to something that is less, I suppose we use the word emotional, but it is more concrete in a sense that we men tend to want to put their hands on something and to experience it a little bit differently. But we find Mary, who in this moment, it was an emotional moment. Thomas later becomes evidential in his appeal to faith. But Mary is more emotional. In fact, and this isn't necessarily theological, mind you, what I'm about to say, but it does have some bearing upon the subject, and that is that many times we will see women who will come to faith in Christ much more quickly than men. And from the natural standpoint, emotionally, women seem to be charged to faith in Christ by their emotions. And I think that becomes apparent when we begin to look at some of the interrelationships of the women that encountered Jesus. Mary Magdalene was very emotionally drawn to Christ because of her situation in life, and Jesus' forgiveness of her and of his acceptance of her, even though she was by others, according to the regard of others, she was not a desirable woman to be around because of her relationships. What do we find? That Mary and Martha were very much emotionally connected to Jesus. And when Jesus comes to Mary and Martha's house to grieve with them concerning Lazarus, we find that there is that emotional appeal that they make unto Jesus. If you had only been here, Lazarus would not have died. And there is an emotional aspect there. One of the women was more interested in care of feeding them, and the other one was more interested in kind of, in a sense, we might say, doting over Jesus in a loving and an emotional way. Well, we don't find the disciples doing that. That is the male variety of the disciples. We don't find them doting over the Lord the same way. And so women are more emotionally charged in that. Well, what am I trying to say? Basically, it is this. We find that when Mary Magdalene came to the tomb that morning, she was there for an emotional need. She wanted to go there, Mary and the other Mary. She wanted to go. She wanted to tend to the body of Jesus. She loved Jesus. She wanted to care for him, anoint him, and take care of him, even though she didn't perhaps know how she was going to get into the tomb to do that. But she was emotionally charged to go there. But we don't find that the disciples were the first ones there. The men. No, it was the women that were the first ones there. They were more emotionally connected to the Lord Jesus in that regard. And so we find that's the case. When the men do come and respond to the call, if you will, of Mary, that the Lord is not there, we find one of them runs very quickly to the tomb, but doesn't go in. We assume that one probably is John. And then Peter comes and he goes right in. What is he looking for? Well, again, he's looking probably for evidence. He's evidential in his thinking and structure. He wanted to see something, some tangible evidence to prove that the Lord either was there or wasn't there, or maybe he is missing, and so forth. But we find that when the angel begins to announce or make certain revelation, the angel makes it to Mary, to the women. The women are emotionally charged to go and to tell the other disciples. And I think it's true that there is a passion and an emotion about women that stirs men in their thinking. It's kind of like the emotions that are in the mother as opposed to the father. If a mother has a woman has a, is a mother and she has children, she's emotionally charged in her relationships to her children. She wants to know everything about her children, and she's connected to them. Birthdays or anniversaries or that those kinds of things. Usually, women remember those kinds of things. Well, what do men do? They don't remember birthdays and anniversaries very well. In fact, we have all we can do to remember our wife's anniversary or birthday. But the women are very emotionally charged to remember those things. So we find Mary, who's the Marys are very emotionally charged here to observe and to look for the Lord Jesus. And the men are put together differently. They're looking for evidence. And so the manifestation here of the risen Christ, that he is not here, that he is risen, is one which is played out upon the lives of the difference between these two people, these two different groups of people. Those who are emotionally charged and respond to emotion, and those who are evidentially charged. That is, that they look for evidence. And so we find them responding differently to the account, much the same way as you and I respond differently to various circumstances. But Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Again, why does he appear to Mary Magdalene and not unto the disciples first? But Mary stood without, verse 11, in the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, again, she's weeping. This is an emotion, right? She stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and see of two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus lay. And they say unto the woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Verse 14, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Well, it seems that he only had to say one word. And Jesus speaks to Mary. He speaks her name. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And now Jesus communicates to her. Again, Mary is emotional about this. She is emotionally connected. She is, and Jesus is using that to communicate something to her. And at the same time, he wants her to do something for him, to go and to tell the other disciples. And so Mary, verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. And so here is a woman that's very, very emotionally connected to Christ. Jesus even uses that emotional connectedness that she has, and he uses it to not only awaken her heart to him, and it only took one word, it seems, to do that, and then he was able to tell her to go and to tell the other disciples. Women have a way of communicating to men. And even though the disciples perhaps didn't understand fully what she was trying to say, and maybe they thought her a bit strange, as you might think, yet the message was communicated. And insomuch that Jesus appears to the disciples, and Thomas becomes a very much a focal point of one of those meetings. Because here again, he represents the evidential side of man. Mary, the emotional side, she is connected to Jesus unequivocally. And now Thomas represents that part of the disciples that looks for more truth, more evidence to prove who Jesus is, that Jesus is this person that has been resurrected. And when we stop and think about what goes on in the world, I think that we find that there are both types of people. There are those who are very much emotional, and they are somehow attracted to Jesus emotionally. And you may even say, well, emotions can't be trusted, and you may be right. Emotions by themselves can't be trusted. And evidences sometimes can be faulty as well. Some people go on the wrong evidence. And evidence alone isn't reliable, because how can you put Jesus in a test tube? How can you put the fact that Jesus is the Son of God in a test tube and prove it? You see, you can't do that. But there are certain things that can be substantial to one's belief and to faith, and Jesus can touch those areas in a person's life, whether it is emotion or whether it is evidential. Jesus can touch those, and faith can be born in the lives of people, even though they might act on emotions or even though they might act on evidence. Jesus can touch both sides of a person or persons, because you and I represent those kinds of people. Sometimes we're emotional, sometimes we're evidential. Sometimes our emotions can't be trusted, and then other times we need emotion because it is part of our human makeup and God has given it to us. And the same thing is true about the evidential aspect of it. But as you look at verse 19 here, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them, saying unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed him unto them his hands and his side. See, here he is. These men are gathered together. What is he doing? He doesn't speak to their emotions. He speaks to their eyesight. And he shows them, well, here is my side. It has been speared. Here is my hands. They have been pierced. He shows the men something in evidence. He doesn't do that with Mary. But he does with the male variety of the disciple here. And he came and stood in their midst, and he said, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. In Jesus' encounter with Mary, he only had to speak her name, and she knew, and she called him Master. When he comes to the disciples, he shows them his hands and his side, and they see, and some of them believe. There is a sense that they accept Jesus for who he says he is. Verse 21, then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, and my Father has, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And so he gives them that commission, if you will, to go forth, even as the Father had given commission unto the Lord Jesus to go and fulfill his will. Now Jesus gives them a certain commission to go and fulfill the will which he desired of them. And there is more on that later, of course. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And then he gives them this pronouncement, if you will, of what should happen in their going forth and how they should be aware that there would things be carried out, such as in verse 23, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained unto them. There would be some who would repent of sins, and in their presence, God would use them, that forgiveness of sins and repentance of sins would be made known. There would be others who would not repent, and their sins would remain, and they would go their way as well. But in other words, Jesus came to give these disciples a certain message to give. The message was of the forgiveness of sins by the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had commissioned the Lord Jesus Christ to come forth and to fulfill the Father's will. He must go to the cross, he must die for the sins of the world, he must be buried, he must rise again according to the Scriptures. He must present himself in the sight of the disciples that they would know that it is he. And after the disciples, then he would ascend unto his Father in heaven. And after giving these certain commands or commissionings, which we know in the scripture, he would depart from them and the Holy Spirit would come upon them. And it seems at this time that God breathes into them, Jesus breathes into his own disciples, the gift of the Holy Ghost, that they might go forth with this power or authority, as we would say, to do the work which God had called them to do. So there is this emotional aspect, and then there is this evidential aspect that he appeals to in people. The third being, here being Thomas. Thomas is, as much as Mary is that one who becomes a central figure here that is appealed to emotionally and responds emotionally and seems to come to faith because of her connectedness to Christ, we find Thomas represents the other aspect. He doesn't believe. In fact, he didn't seem to be there the first time in the first meeting, but now in this meeting, we find that Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus in verse 24, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." He's quite dogmatic that he will not believe until he has more proof. And isn't it true that we find people like this? You will encounter people that are like this. They will not believe unless they find more proof, unless they have more proof. They just are not satisfied with an emotional appeal, ever so more emotional that it might be. They have to have more evidence. And so this evidential aspect of man is somehow must be satisfied. Because God has given to us this side of our personality, this emotion, intellect, and will, if you will. The emotional, intellect, and will of man forms a part of our personality as much as the body, soul, and spirit forms the other integral parts of it. And so we find here Thomas. I know sometimes we get down on Thomas a lot. We really kind of pound him into the ground, and he's this figure that we just say, "Shame on you, Thomas! You know, why did you do that? You're such a terrible guy." But in reality, I don't think he's such a terrible guy so much as he's just being pointed. Jesus is pointing out that one of his disciples is one of these people, like many, who are more evidential than they are emotional. And you may know some people that are like that. They have the emotion of a stick of wood. You know? That you just can't move them emotionally at all. What do they appeal to? They appeal to evidence. Of course, there has to be some aspect in them that is emotional, but because we are all emotional in some sense or another. You get the stick of wood on fire and he's going to scream. Emotion will come out. But, you know, Thomas seems to be like this. He says, verse 26, "And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, 'Peace be unto you,'" his greeting, as he greeted them before in verse 21. "Then saith he unto Thomas, 'Reach hither your finger, and behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing.'" Jesus doesn't say, by the way, "Just get out of here, Thomas. I don't want to talk to you. Go away. If you're not going to believe, just go away from me." He doesn't do that. Why? Because Jesus was of a very compassionate nature that he did not come just to save one type of person. He came to save those that were lost, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He came to call men unto himself, such as should be saved. And we find that being the case that wherever people come to faith in Christ, it is such as should be saved, such as will believe. whether they are emotionally driven or whether they're evidentially driven, Christ can reach them. And so he knows Thomas inside and out, and he comes and he says, "Peace be unto you," and he addresses Thomas and he says, "Thomas, you want to know the truth? Then come right here. I'm going to let you do it. Touch my hand, touch my side. Feel that it is me. I am a real person. I'm not just a ghost. I have been resurrected. I am the living Christ. Be faithless. Do not be faithless, but believing," he says. And Thomas answered, and of course in the historic manner of which the occasion called for, and he refers to him as "my Lord and my God." A very emphatic way of saying that, yes, you are Jesus Christ, the Son of God, even as is declared in the Word of God. You are He, and I believe. Which only goes to show that that no matter who it is, whether it's one who is emotionally driven or one who is evidentially driven, if they come face to face with Christ, they will believe. The question is whether or not they have come face to face with Christ. And we find Thomas believes. Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." More blessed. And of course that has to be true, doesn't it? As we recognize that the person who believes and does not require mountains of evidence to believe is certainly of more of a childlike faith, we might say, than one who requires great evidence and proof. And he says that person who is of such faith as to believe without seeing me, without the evidence, but believes on the basis of faith alone, is truly blessed. And many other signs, of course, it says, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ were done in the presence of the disciples. And we recognize that these things, as he says, were written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so the testimony of these things being written down for us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ were written that we might believe and have life through His name. But these two people represent, I believe, for us, the type of people that you will often find as we try to tell others about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some who are emotionally driven to believe it, and other people who are evidentially driven to believe it. Now, are there admixtures of them? Yes. There are those who will be emotional and evidential at the same time. You will find different percentages of types of people in this regard. But God uses both. Neither one are fully reliable. That is, evidence isn't fully reliable. We can't do that. We can't prove Jesus in a test tube. Emotion isn't fully reliable. We can't stir up or conjure up enough emotion to get somebody saved. But if God will use the emotional personality or the evidential personality and reveal Himself, then that person will come to faith in Christ. And God does work with us. We can be thankful that He does. Otherwise, it would be quite different than what it is. For we are not without feeling, and we are not without need to see something proven. And even though we have the truth of the Word of God right in front of us, many people do not respond to it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to tell them what this story is. We need to tell them about the Word of God. They need to hear the Word of God. Part of it they will act upon in emotion. Part of them they will act upon in evidence. But we need to tell them. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank You for Your Word to us. Thank You, Lord, for the different accounts of the resurrection and of the peoples that we see here in these accounts. and how you did work in their hearts and lives, and you did open their hearts to the gospel and to faith in Christ, and that they went forward and they became the disciples of Christ, the apostles of Christ, those who carried the message to the known world, and who literally turned the world upside down with a message that would change lives and hearts for generations to come, for millennia of people. We praise you for this and glorify your name. It is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.